Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is our Lord. And this verse hit me. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Does that strike anybody? As we look to, this is our Lord, as we look to Him and we learn of Him and we follow Him, knowing that this is God Almighty. We know He's God Almighty, don't we? "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." The statement has been made that if a man has been called to preach, he has been called to pray. And man, is that true? That's true. You know, I try to find a message. And usually I have to get to that place where I realize I'm not going to find the message. It's going to be given. And I get to that place where I have to give up and say, I'm stopping. I'll call and ask and wait until you give the message. And sometimes I get to the end of the day and think all I did today was pray. I didn't get anything on paper, which to me means I didn't get anything done. Not necessarily true. It's just not necessarily true. Spurgeon said, "A man who has prayed well has studied well." And to take that a step further, if a man or a woman has been called to believe this word, then he or she has been called to pray. That's what we do for a living. We all pray. If the holy and perfect and all-knowing God gave himself to prayer, how much more should we, vile and faithless and weak sinners, give ourselves to prayer? Look at Matthew 14 with me. We're going to turn a little bit tonight. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." He went alone to pray. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. This is wonderful. Luke 3 verse 21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice, 'This is my beloved Son, I'm well pleased.'" He prayed when he was alone. He prayed while he was being baptized. I thought, I wish I could be baptized again just so I could call on the Lord while it was happening. Go to Luke 9. Verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am?" He prayed while he was with his disciples. He prayed alone. He was constantly praying. Verse 28 right here says, "It came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering." It just struck me how often our Lord gave his time on this earth to go pray. To pray. Now, what is prayer? What is prayer? Go with me to Luke 11. First, prayer is acknowledging God. That's what it is. Luke 11, verse 2 says, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness." And that's Christ. The righteousness of God is Christ himself. So he said, call on Christ first. And how often do we do that? Hardly ever. I would venture to say, never. Never. And we stay in misery until we do. The Lord will bring us to his house, and he'll send his Spirit, and we'll call on him, and we go out so much more relaxed than when we came in. When these huge problems and these decisions and these issues come to us, don't you wish that the Lord would cause us to immediately go to Christ with it? Don't you wish that would happen? Immediately. First thing, seek ye first Christ, and it'll all be taken care of. Prayer is acknowledging God, and it's acknowledging his will. Verse 2 right here says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." Thy will. Prayer acknowledges God, it acknowledges his will, and it acknowledges his work. Verse 3 says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Lord, you are the one who gives it. You're the one who gives it. It only comes from you. If we're going to receive it, you're going to have to give it. Lord, you are the giver. The work is in your hands. Verse 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. Lord, all of that work belongs to you. Every bit of it. There's a song that says, "With his blood he saved us. With his power he raised us. To God be the glory for the things he hath done." Every bit of it. The only reason why we're able to pray is because of what Christ did for us, making us clean before God and making us acceptable in his presence. That's the only reason. Our Lord said, outside of Christ, they're not going to make it past the ceiling. I won't hear them. I won't hear them. We usually close our prayers by saying things like this: "In Jesus' name I pray." And what we're saying is, Lord, I am coming to you in him, as him, through him. I'm only coming, only He is worthy to come into your presence, and I come in Him. We say things like, for Christ's sake. It's only because of what Christ did that I'm able to even talk to you right now. That's what I acknowledge. Now, I want to read the verse of Scripture that we're going to call our text. This is our text. Luke 11, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Teach us to pray. Now, in this request is what and how. I've always heard this. I've always read this scripture. I've heard men quote this scripture, and my mind has always thought, what and how? And we're going to look at some of that. We are going to look at some of that. But before we do, I want us to take notice of the actual request. This, it was just a light bulb for me. This is the actual request. They said, Lord, teach us to pray, to actually do it. Teach us to actually pray, because we don't. We just don't. I just don't. I don't pray often. It's always last minute, last resort. Oh, yeah, no wonder I haven't been praying. No wonder I don't have a message. Hadn't even called on God yet. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Turn over to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." This is why he spoke the parable. And this is what the parable was. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't faint when these things come. Pray. Isn't that like, don't faint. Pray. Acknowledge God. Okay, we're in a bad situation. Let's just stop. Let me pull the car over and let me acknowledge God. Do I believe God is able? Yes, I do. Do I believe God is controlling every bit of this? Yes, I do. Do I believe not a leaf falls from a tree or a dust particle flies through the air without His exact command? Yes, I do. Okay, then first let's acknowledge God. And then let's acknowledge His will. Do I believe that this thing is going to go exactly like He has purposed for it to go? Yes, I do. And then let's acknowledge His work. Do I believe that every single thing He does works together for the good of every one of His sheep? Yes, I do. Okay, let's not faint. Let's pray. Verse 1, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith." I think about my loved ones that I want God to save, and I think, I need to be praying. I need to be asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, 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 asking. He said, would you hear what the unjust judge said? Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find men looking to Christ and calling on Christ and waiting on Christ? And he's telling us you ought to always pray. Pray without ceasing. Well, I pray quite a bit. It's not enough, I promise. You really think he means without ceasing? Yes, I do. As often as that can be. He's saying if you would commune with your heavenly Father, you'd have peace and you'd have rest. If you would call, he would answer. Isn't that what his word says all the way through it? Lord, teach us to pray. Oh, it's no use. It's gone too long. It's been too far. Teach us to pray. Now, let me show you something that I believe will make a lot of sense of some things. This was wonderful to me. This was a real help to me. A real help. I hope it'll be a help to everybody. Go with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, look at verse 44. Our Lord says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What he's saying right there is, it's not if you have enemies. What he's saying is you're going to have enemies. You're going to. And you will be cursed at by some. And you will be hated. And you will be despitefully used. And you will be persecuted. And do you know why? It's to teach us to pray. That's exactly why. It's to teach us to pray. Our Lord has the power to stop every bit of that. Whenever the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, and he said, Moses is going to lead you out of Egypt, he said, not so much as a dog is going to move his tongue against you. A dog won't even bark at you. He has the ability to stop every bit of this, but he does not. He does not stop it. He says, when it happens, I want you to pray. He's teaching you. You know what he's doing? He's conforming us to the image of Christ. That's what he's doing. Teach you and teach me to pray. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We will enter into temptation. We will. You and I are going to see, it's going to be proven to us, that this flesh is weak. It's going to be proven to us. And the reason is to teach us to pray. It's to teach us to pray. Prayer is vital in our union with God. It's absolutely vital. And it is conforming us to the image of Christ. It really is. And he's going to teach us. He said they'll all be taught of God. They will all be taught of God. And our faith is going to be tried. Everything is going to be tried. The reason is to teach us to pray. It's to teach us to pray. It's to teach us to acknowledge God and His will and His work. All right, now let me show you a few things that he has said about how and what to pray. Go with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful, be full of care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Sometimes we think, I have thought before that, you know, God is all-knowing and it's all on purpose and it's all been ordered, so I should not request things because He knows what's right. But what this verse right here tells us is it's okay to request things. It is okay to make your request known to God. Romans 8 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and we don't. And Matthew 6 says that our Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of. We just read it. But He's saying right here, it's okay to ask for things. It's okay to make requests known. We know that the Heavenly Father has already chosen all of His people. Don't we know that? He did it before the foundation of the world. We know that Christ has already redeemed every one of those people. He's already died. The blood has already been shed. But we beg and we beg and we beg for our children, don't we? And our loved ones, we beg. I know that He's already, the election is finished. It's all finished. I know it's all finished. But what he says right here is okay to make your petitions known. Beg for them. Beg. We have things in our life. We have things in the life of our loved ones that we desire, we want to see happen. And it's okay to ask for those things. As long as with that request we're acknowledging His will. And we are. Ultimately, we say, Thy will be done. Our Lord was that prime example. He said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed that. Do you think He knew it was not possible? Yes. But as a man, the perfect man, He prayed that. And then He said, Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. So with that heart to bow to His will, it's okay to make requests to God. And then He told us a few things we ought to request. I want to show you a couple of them. Go with me to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Psalm 122, look at verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now we've already said the only reason we can pray is because Christ made that peace with God for us. That's the only reason. And because of that, for Christ's sake, because of that, pray for peace among God's people. Pray for peace among God's people. May we pray always. And may we pray for peace with God's people. Pray that this flesh and this mind and this heart won't mess everything up. Now, do I believe God's in control? Yes, I do. But pray, pray, pray for peace among God's people. Peace is so much better than adversity. It's just so much better. Verse 7 says, "Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Let's pray for peace and unity. Whenever I came here, that's impressed upon me that something this congregation needs to ask for now, and I still say it to this day. Pray for peace here. Pray for unity here. Don't you want unity here? Don't you want this to be a loving place where people are with one mind and one heart, and it's Christ? Pray for that. Pray for love among God's people. Peter wrote, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So let's pray for that. Go with me over to Jeremiah 29. We're almost finished. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace." That's a great verse of Scripture. The Lord has carried all of us to Kingsport. Whether we were born here or whether He moved us here, here's where He put us, in this captive land. Pray for this city. Pray for this city that the Lord would make this a peaceful place. If there's peace out there, it's peace for us. And that the Lord would allow us to keep worshiping here in peace. And that the Lord would call out more sheep. Peace Himself. Pray that peace might go through this city. And then let me show you another one. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, look at verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Pray for us. He said over in Colossians, "We pray for you. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." As God enables me to, as He reminds me to, I pray for you. I really do. I pray for the child inside your belly that I don't even know his name yet. My request is that you do the same for me. Pray for me. Pray for every man who is called to deliver this message, that the word would go forth with free course. Pray that the Lord would bless His word. Pray that the Lord would keep me. For all of our sake, pray that the Lord would keep me, and pray that He would keep sending messages to me, and that I wouldn't get up here and wing it. Pray for that. And pray that He'll keep us on Christ. Just pray that He'll keep us on Christ. Last thing, I'll close with this. Go back just a few pages to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." With thanksgiving. Our Lord answers the cry of His people. He does. He does. He truly does. And He gives His people a heart to bow to His answer. But usually, not always, usually though, he gives us what we want. He really does. Sometimes in mercy, he spares us from what we want. But if it's a good thing, usually he gives us what we want. And may we never forget after the fact to go back and thank him for it. I have prayed for things to happen or not happen. Lord, if it be thy will. I have prayed for things, and I mean, I've spent days on end and weeks on end, and in a couple of cases, years on end, praying for things. And then God takes care of it, and then out of sight, out of mind. Lord, would you remind me to go back onto that same issue and give thanks. Pray with thanks. Giving. May we never forget that. I wrote down here Tony Moody before Tom Harding. I thought about, he told me his story. He heard Henry on tape, CD, before he was crossed paths with Tom Harding. I thought, how often did he pray that God would raise up a church here? He said, there's no gospel here. How often did you pray, Lord, would you, if it be thy will, would you bring the gospel to Kingsport? Well, he did. And I say that, with fear and trembling. But he did. And thank you for your blessings on this congregation is what we just heard a minute ago in that study. A prayer was prayed. And he said, thank you for your blessings on this congregation. That fork, we've all had this fork in the road. A fork in the road. And we don't know what to do, and we don't know what to do. And God shows us the answer. You didn't know if you should stay in Florida or move to Tennessee. And he showed you the answer. And I didn't know if I should stay in Virginia or move to Tennessee. And he showed me the answer. Lord, thank you so much for showing me the answer. Thank you for answering my prayer. There were 10 lepers. And they came to the Lord. And they all wanted to be healed of their leprosy. And our Lord never turned away a sick individual. He healed them all. And he told them, and as according to the law, go show yourself to the priest and we'll see if you're clean. So 10 of them started heading to the priest. You know what they were doing? They were running to the law. All right? We're all going to run to the law and see if we're okay. As they were going, before they ever got to the law, at thy word, clean. Well, 9 of them kept on running. 1 of them turned around and came back and gave thanks and glory to God. And he said, where are the other 9? I said, I don't know, but oh, thank you. And he said, according to your faith. Did I write it down? He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, 9 of them were cleansed of leprosy. 1 of them was cleansed of leprosy and saved. Because now does he get the glory? No, I'm not going to go into all that. Let's just give thanks. Let's give thanks. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, pray, pray. And then as soon as you answer our prayer, teach us to pray, pray, pray. Teach us to pray. All right, let's stand together.